Revelation 18, 1 through 3. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Brothers and sisters, those who believe in evolutionary theory say that human being is evolving. They say that we developed as well as technology. According to this idea, we are ready to experience more advanced varieties of relationships rather than regular marriage between a man and a woman. Evolving? Devolving would be more accurate. The website The Christian Post published the following news. Dr. Ulrich Kopfler performed abortions in South Bend, Indiana, until his license was suspended in 2015 over multiple violations. He died on September 3rd. When his family went through his house, they found an alarming number of medically preserved aborted babies. Authorities later put the total number at 2,246. Evolved? Last week, a court in England ruled on a case involving Dr. David McCareth, a devout Christian who had worked as an emergency doctor for the National Health Service for 26 years. He said he was fired from his job because he refused to call a biological man a woman. The court's ruling stated, belief in Genesis, look at this. This is an official, you know, statement by the court. The court's ruling stated, belief in Genesis 1:27, lack of belief in transgenderism and conscientious objection to transgenderism, in our judgment, are incompatible with human dignity and conflict with the fundamental rights of others, specifically here, transgender individuals. And the court also said, in so far as those beliefs from part of his wider faith also does not satisfy the requirement of being worthy of respect in a democratic society, not incompatible with human dignity, and not in conflict with fundamental rights of others. Look at this. They said that our Bible, or the Bible, we believe that this is the true word of God, it's incompatible with human dignity. These are examples of how the regime of iniquity is at work. It began in the Garden of Eden when the first couple disobeyed God and they ate from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Years later, Cain killed Abel with no regret. From then on, the story is the same. People living for here and now, practicing sexual immorality, violence, disobeying their parents, lying, and deceiving their neighbors. There are women so mind sick that they get pregnant so that they may have a chance to do abortion. This is serious. A woman declared last week she was proud for her 7 abortions so far. Evolved? I would say devolved human being. What is left for God to do but to pour out His judgment and retribution on this terrible and worldly regime of iniquity? As soon as young people go to college, they start using drugs and practicing fornication. People are so dishonest today, and some people receive the extra change and do not return the excess. If they go to a supermarket and bring an item to his car without paying, they don't go back. My wife recently bought a Blu-ray disc, and when we had already loaded the car, she realized that the Blu-ray disc was not registered in the receipt. So she quickly went back to the cashier and said, "We didn't pay for this product." And the cashier asked, would you like to pay for it?" "Of course," Lijian said, "of course." Then the cashier declared, it's striking that you decided to pay for this product after you have gone." And then my wife said, "Why is this striking? This is the duty of all people." But this is only an example of how dishonest our society actually is. And beyond that, the Church of Jesus has suffered persecution from radicals in several countries. Could we say that human beings evolved, as evolutionary theory believers say? Even in a country such as the United States of America, it is hard to be a Christian. Anti-Christian bills have passed in houses of representatives in many states. The beast and his allies are fighting against the Lamb and his church. Think of the seduction to push believers out of tracks of the righteous way that pleases God. They are trying to deviate us from the right way of obedience to Christ. Think also of the many believers who have yielded to the attacks of Satan. They practice slandering, they love money, they speak bad words, they write bad words on Facebook, they drive crazily and disrespect the traffic laws, they dishonor their leaders and make idols in their hearts. Revelation chapter 17, 18, and 19 reveal God's judgment on some of his enemies. And I'm saying this because this regime of iniquity has a day to be finished. God will end with this wickedness. And in chapter 17, 18, and 19 of Revelation, God will reveal his judgment on some of his enemies: the scarlet woman, the fiery beast, and the false prophet. The scarlet woman is also called Babylon or the harlot. And it represents the seduction by the world. The beast represents the anti-Christian governments, and the false prophet represents the false religion or anti-Christian religions. The judgment on Babylon is so important that it appears in all of these three chapters in Revelation 17, 18, and 19. And Revelation 17 already showed that the judgment upon Babylon was pronounced, and it's inevitable. So God will judge Babylon, this world, and this system of seduction against the church. And here in Revelation 18, we will see the judgment upon Babylon. Then we will see an exhortation to the church not to keep any level of communion with it, with Babylon. And we will see a lamentation over its fall. At the end, the definitive character of the fall of Babylon will be very, very clear in this chapter. So let's see, first of all, this for first three verses of Revelation 18. We'll see this morning the sin city will surely fall. The sin city will surely fall. Brothers and sisters, the days were difficult for the church at the end of the first century when the book of Revelation was written. The council sent Christians to prison. They had city councils as we have today, but those city councils were evil and they persecuted the church, and they were sending Christians to prison or unto exile, like John, or even sentenced to death. They even sentenced to death those who would not confess Caesar is Lord. In Rome, hundreds and even thousands of believers were killed by the claws of hungry beasts. It was the amusement of thousands of people hungry and thirsty for pleasure or for worldly pleasure. Thus, the woman, the harlot, Babylon or Rome, was drunk with the blood of Christians, as we see in Revelation 17, verse 6. John was also anguished under harsh persecution. He was banished in Patmos island as if he was an idiot. Did you know that idiot is a synonym of lunatic or alienated? So he was treated as an idiot, banished to Patmos. John was prevented from hearing from his brothers in Christ. Thus, he was disallowed of the privilege of encouraging his persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. The one who best learned how to love our neighbors as ourselves needed comfort and encouragement. John began being comforted when Jesus appeared to him and dictated the letters to the seven churches, chapters 1 through 3. Later, the vision of the glorious throne of God and the Lamb who was powerful and strong to open the book and to remove the seals comforted him, because God is governing the earth. And then the vision of the seven trumpets also comforted John by showing that God's final judgment will reveal and praise His glory and will accomplish His church's victory, chapters 8 through 11. And surely the conflict described in chapter 12 and the opponents of the Lamb and the church revealed in chapters 13 and 14 left John alarmed. Yeah, surely those conflicts are very, hard for the church. But finally, John had the visions of the bowls pouring out God's wrath on earth. This is his judgment. Even though the church is opposed to the world with seduction, persecution, and lies, Revelation 17:14 declares that she will overcome her enemies because she is in Christ. That's why the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors, because we are in Christ. Revelation 17:14 says, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. How these visions must have comforted the old and loving apostle. As if all this was not enough, God further revealed more details about the judgment upon Rome, who is the harlot, or Babylon. So in Revelation 18:1, John saw another angel with great authority coming down from heaven. And he had authority compatible with the important mission to proclaim that the judgment upon Babylon will be carried out. So great is his glory, and so great is his power that the earth is lightened with his splendor. We can see this in verse 1. All the earth was lightened by his splendor. With a loud voice, he shouts, Babylon, the great, is fallen, is fallen and has become a dwelling place for demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Verses 2 and 3. The fall of Rome was so certain that the angel referred to it as something that had already occurred. You see? Because it was certain. So that's why I said the sin city, Babylon, surely will fall. That's why the angel mentioned this fall in the past. Because it was certain. It was sure. This is not the first time the fall of Babylon is announced in the Bible. Isaiah spoke of Babylon as the dwelling place of hyenas and jackals, symbols of desolation. This in, we can see in Isaiah 13, verses 20 through 22. Jeremiah also proclaimed the fall of Babylon with similar words. I will read Jeremiah 50 verses 39 and 45. Therefore, the wild desert beasts shall dwell there with the jackals, and the ostriches shall dwell in it. It shall be inhabited no more forever, nor shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord that he has taken against Babylon, and his purposes that he has proposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he will make their dwelling place desolate with them. This is in Jeremiah 50, 39 and 45. He also said in another passage, Babylon shall become a heap, a dwelling place for jackals, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. Look at this. The sea has come up over Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of its waves. This is a description of desolation, destruction, fall. The reason for this fall is in Revelation 18:3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Brothers and sisters, look at this. Nations and kings in the earth let themselves be seduced with Babylon's nefarious charm. The merchants of the earth also yielded to her appeal to lust and became partners in her abominations. Dr. Beeke stated something true and concerning at the same time about a secularized society. Hear this. Any society, it's not only Babylon or Rome, he's speaking about here and now. Our society is Babylon as well, because they are far from God. And they are fighting against the church with lust, with luxury and seduction. So look at this. Any society that forsakes God and roots itself in the here and now will end in collapse, ruin and despair. That was true of Greece, Egypt and Rome. We fear that it will happen to our decadent society too, as we ignore God, moving him out of our schools, public places, and even churches as we continue to be intoxicated by the harlot Babylon. The inevitable consequence will be fall, ruin, and disaster if we continue to refuse to repent. Wow. The announcement of the fall of Babylon is the proclamation of the fall of Rome, the capital of the opposition against the Church of Christ. And in fact, Rome fell in 410 AD. Nero's fire had already struck her, Have you heard about this? Nero, represented by the figure of the beast, turned against the capital of his empire and hated the harlot as revealed by the angel. He set the city on fire while singing madly. The city was devastated and stripped. Rome arose at the expense of the nations that sent their wealth to rebuild the city after the fire. Rome regained its opulence and arrogance. Then this city intensified persecution against the Church of Jesus for two more centuries. And after Constantine's signing of the Edict of Milan in 313 AD, the persecution ceased. But with the great number of nominal conversions to Christianity, the church began to decline in holiness and loyalty to sound doctrine. The church lost her prophetic voice because of her fascination with the harlot, Rome. One century later, when a war broke out between the Visigoth barbarian people and the Roman Empire, Alaric besieged Rome in 408 AD. This siege was so terrible that it brought panic, hunger, and despair to the city, to the point that Pope Innocent agreed to perform pagan sacrifices for the salvation of the Roman state. And finally, after another siege in 409, Rome was sacked by Alaric in 410. This way, the city that financed the persecution against the church fell, humiliated. The ten horns and the beast hated the one who once welcomed them. They hated the harlot and made her devastated and stripped. They ate her flesh and consumed it in the fire. Rome was sacked again in 455 AD by the Vandals. In 476, Odoacer, king of the Heruli, he ordered the deposition of the last emperor of Rome, Romulus Augustus. This is so funny because Romulus is the name of the founder of Babylon and is the name of the last emperor. And Augustus was the first great Caesar, but was the last one as well. It's impressive. Babylon, the great, is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit. It happened. The angel announced, and Rome's fall occurred. It became a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Brothers and sisters, the judgment upon Rome is a sign that God's judgment works in the present time. We must fear and work hard that our country may not fall under God's wrath. Unfortunately, the USA is walking quickly on Rome's path. This country was founded under the foundation of the gospel. The Declaration of Independence mentions God as the author of the laws of nature and that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Articles of the Confederation in 1781 affirms, it had pleased the great governor of the world to incline the hearts of the legislators to approve the respective articles. They were praising God when they were establishing the Articles of Confederation. Based on the American ancient documents, we see that this nation was founded upon biblical truths. Today, God has been pushed out of public schools, senates, city councils, universities, and courtrooms. Some politicians intend to ban the Pledge of Allegiance that says, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." Sexual scandals involving famous politicians and royal people appear in the first page of newspapers very often. When the Bible speaks of Rome, it speaks about today. It speaks about this worldly system that serves Satan. They oppose to the church all the time. They try to push us out of the tracks of this path of obedience to God. Young people from traditional American families grow up going to church, but give into a worldly life when they go to college. More than 50 million children were killed in the United States of America through abortion. Several liberal American Protestant denominations are decreasing quickly in number of members. One of them loses more than 100,000 members a year. People everywhere are drunk with the wine of Babylon's fornication. So pray. Pray for the United States of America, that our country may turn back to the Lord with faith and repentance. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Pray that pastors may preach the word boldly. Pray that each Christian may witness the gospel of Jesus Christ, including us. The gospel is the only hope for this country. Oh God, have mercy. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.